Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus our Christ, good God day to all of you. This is the day that our Lord has made, and we will rejoice on purpose and be glad in it, no matter what. Why? Because our Lord is good, and His mercy is new every morning, and it is from everlasting to everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. This is Minister Renee Ellis, also known as the Little One. And I would like to welcome everyone to today's broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, live from HNLC Studios. I give all honor and all worship and praise and glory and adoration to the head of my life and my everything, my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I give recognition and respect to my pastors, Chief Apostle Dr. Prince A. Miles and Pastor Lady Monica R. Miles of the International Gospel Deliverance Center Church, located in Southfield, Michigan. And I also give recognition and respect to my covering, my sponsors, and the founders of Harvest New Life Church International, Apostle Charles E. Ellis and Pastor Patty Ellis of Plano, Texas. I thank God for them allowing me to be a part of the HNLC Studios broadcasting team, all for the glory and honor of God. You can listen to my podcast, Food for Thought, at your leisure any time of the day on Spotify, Breaker, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, and Odyssey, which used to be radio.com, and many other podcast platforms where we study the Word of God together. All you have to do is type in the Little One, Food for Thought, and the podcast should come up. We're going to give everybody an opportunity to get their study tools, all of the things that we use when we get together to study on Tuesdays and Thursdays at this time, and we'll be right back with a word of prayer and get right into our study. Amen. Everyone has had an opportunity to get their Bibles and notebooks and pens and paper, all of the things that we use when we get together as a family on Tuesdays and Thursdays to study the unadulterated Word of God in the spirit of unity and love, united in the Spirit by Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior. Truly, this is the day that our Lord has made. And we count it a privilege and an honor to be able to see this day, a new day which we have never seen before, a gift that He has given unto us. Amen. Let us go before the throne of grace with a word of prayer. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this moment, this opportunity, Father. We center ourselves on You. We center our minds on You. We center our thoughts on You. We center our entire being on our Maker, the Creator of all things, Maker of the universe, King of all kings, Lord of all lords, our Savior, our Father, our Friend, our Redeemer, Jesus the Christ. Lord, we bless You and we honor You on this day. And we give You praise and we give You glory. And Lord, we ask that You look on each and every one that is listening within the sound of my voice. And even those who will yet listen to this broadcast later on, Father. Move in their lives, on their hearts, in them, O God. Answer the prayers the secret petitions of their heart. According to your will, O God, we speak life to them. We speak health to them. We speak strength to them. Lord, we thank you for giving them the perseverance to be able to keep on keeping on in you, O God. To be able to run the race that you have given us to run with patience and endure and go through with you, O God. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace and your loving kindness. We thank you for your long suffering. And most of all, we thank you for your love, your sweet, precious, tender, chiding, and correcting love. For your word says, whom you love, O God, you chasten. As a father chastens the son or daughter in whom he delights, Lord, we welcome your correction on this day. We are willing and we are obedient, and we yield ourselves to you. Lord, bend us, break us, mold us, make us, as we are on the potter's wheel, daily walking and working out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Lord, we ask that you put us all behind the cross, so that it is all of you and none of us that is seen, heard, and demonstrated in the lives of others. And we thank you, Lord, for this time to break open your word and study a little bit more about you and learn. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence, for you are the teacher. And I ask that you put your words on my tongue and on my lips, that which you will have me to deliver unto your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you for answered prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. today, the Holy Spirit has impressed upon me to continue our study in the book of James. We just concluded our study in James chapter 1. So now we will be moving on to James chapter 2. And I will be reading from the Amplified Classic Edition. And we all can follow along in our translations as we always do when we get together on Tuesdays and Thursdays to study together. Amen. Let us begin reading in James chapter 2. Let's begin at verse 1. It says, my brethren, pay no servile regard to people. Show no prejudice, no partiality. Do not attempt to hold and practice the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, together with snobbery. Now that verse right there is a loaded verse. There's a lot of meat in that verse. And we must look at this little by little. My brethren, pay no servile regard. What does the word servile mean? S-E-R-V-I-L-E. It means having or showing an excessive willingness to serve or please others. What is prejudice? Preconceived opinion that is not based on reason or actual experience. What is partiality? Unfair bias in favor of one thing or person compared with another. Favoritism. James talks to us and he says, pay no servile regard to people. Show no prejudice, no partiality. Do not attempt to hold and practice the faith, the gospel, Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior. Do not attempt to hold and practice the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, together with snobbery. Why would he say that? Because that is completely opposite of what Jesus came to do. Jesus showed no partiality to anyone, and he came to serve as a servant. He didn't look at himself as God, even though he recognized and realized that within him was everything that made God God, and he was and is the Son of God. Yet, he did not think while he was on this planet that that concept was easily to be grasped in relationship to mankind. If anybody had the right to look down on someone, it would be our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, because he was perfect and he is perfect. But look at his example. Look at how humble our Lord is and was, and what he demonstrated on this planet as he walked among the people, having compassion, healing, performing miracles, speaking, and taking time to fellowship with all manner of people, not just those who were of the religious sect, but the tax collectors and the fishermen and those who were not looked upon in society as good. He showed no partiality. And we are to mirror our Father because we were made in his image and his likeness. And if we profess Jesus the Christ, we too must take on the guise of a servant and show no partiality, especially to those of the household of faith, but even those who are not of the household of faith. You never know. The Bible says, be careful how you entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. James chapter 2, verse 1, it says, my brethren, pay no servile regard to people. Show no prejudice, no partiality. Do not attempt to hold and practice the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, together with snobbery. Because the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, does not mesh with snobbery. Verse 2 says, for if a person comes into your congregation whose hands are adorned with gold rings and who is wearing splendid apparel, and also a poor man in shabby clothes comes in, and you pay special attention to the one who wears the splendid clothes and say to him, sit here in this preferable seat, while you tell the poor man, stand there or sit there on the floor at my feet. Verse 4 says, are you not discriminating among your own and becoming critics and judges with wrong motives? Prejudice. A preconceived opinion that is not based on reason or actual experience. Just being moved by what you see instead of having experience with the heart of a person. Jesus doesn't want us operating that way. It says in verse 4, are you not discriminating among your own? And in the body of Christ and in God's people, as God's people, because God's people is everyone, not just the Christian. God is the maker of all of us. In Proverbs chapter 22, verses 1 through 4, it says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Verse 2 says, the rich and poor meet together. How do they meet together? The Lord is the maker of them all. Verse 3 says, a prudent man sees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished with suffering. The reward of humility and the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Verse 2 in Proverbs 22, the rich and the poor meet together because the Lord is the maker of them all. And he is not partial. And he does not show favoritism. God's grace does not show favoritism. Jesus came to this planet for all people, not just certain people, not just certain nationalities. He came for all people, all walks, all nationalities, all ages, all economic backgrounds, all educational levels. He came for all people. Romans chapter 2, verses 9 through 13. It says, and there will be tribulation and anguish and calamity and constraint for every soul of man who habitually does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek, the Gentile. Verse 10 says, but glory and honor and heart peace shall be awarded to everyone who habitually does good, the word everyone. And it says here, the Jew first and also the Greek, the Gentile. Verse 11 is where we want to focus. It says, for God shows no partiality, no undue favor or unfairness with him. One man is not different from another. Verse 12 says, all. Notice that word, all. All who have sinned without the law will also perish without regard to the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged and condemned by the law. For it is not merely hearing the law read that makes one righteous before God, but it is the doers of the law who will be held guiltless and acquitted and justified. Scripture says that Jesus holds the government on his shoulder. Who or what is the law? The word of God. Jesus himself. What is the law? To love thy neighbor as you love yourself. That is the new commandment that Jesus gave us. Let's go back to James chapter 2, and let's go back to verse 4. It says, are you not discriminating among your own and becoming critics and judges with wrong motives? Verse 5 says, listen, my beloved brethren. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and in their position as believers and to inherit the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? Those who love him. The only distinction that God makes between the sheep and the goats, the world and the body of Christ, is himself, the way, the truth, and the life. And even then, he still makes no distinction because he stands always knocking at the door of every heart. He stands at the door and knocks and waits person to open the door of their heart and to welcome him in to their lives as an act of their will. It says in verse 6, but you, in contrast, have insulted, humiliated, dishonored, and shown your contempt for the poor. Is it not the rich who domineer over you? Is it not they who drag you into the law courts? This division ought not to be in the body of Christ, because daily we are being transfigured into the image of Jesus through our walking out and working out our soul salvation with fear and trembling. God wants us to obey in our doing, but really it starts in our thinking first. To obey and decide with a decision of our will to do what is right in the eyesight of God so that he can move freely the way he wants to move through each and every one of us according to his perfect will. If we go to Acts chapter 15 and look at verses 7 through 11, it says, and after there had been a long debate, Peter got up and said to them, brethren, you know that quite a while ago, God made a choice or selection from among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the message of the gospel concerning the attainment through Christ of salvation in the kingdom of God, and believe and place their confidence in that gospel. And God, who is acquainted with and understands the heart, bore witness to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, as he also did to us. The Jews and the Gentiles. There is no distinction. Verse 9 says, and he made no difference, Peter says. God made no difference between us and them, but cleansed their hearts by faith, by a strong and welcome conviction that Jesus is the Messiah, through whom we obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. Verse 10, Peter goes on to say, he says, "Now then, why do you try to test God by putting a yoke on the necks of the disciples, such as neither our forefathers nor we ourselves were able to endure? But we believe," verse 11 says, "but we believe that we are saved through the grace, through the Christ, through Jesus, through the grace, the undeserved favor and mercy of the Lord Jesus, just as they are." You know, God's purpose is to have everyone and everything reflect Him. The Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three personalities in one, are perfectly unified. There is no one big I and little you. And yet that is a great mystery. But God wants the church unified. And He wants us not to show partiality to one particular group or to another. For we all are the same in the eyesight of God. It doesn't matter how long we've been saved or how short we've been saved, how old we are or how young we are. We are all here helpers one to another, Scripture says. And that is the soul peace, the harmony, the unity, the togetherness, the sense of family that Jesus the Christ gave all of us when He gave His life on the cross. When He was going through, and we just celebrated this past Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. When He was going through the things that He was going through, and He was looking down into the annals of time, and He saw each and every one of us, our faces, our families, children, relatives. He said, "That is my family. That is Abba's family. That is our family. That is my body, my bride. I must sacrifice myself for them, no matter who they are, no matter what country they're in. I love them all the same." And when He gave up His life on that cross, He loved us all the same. Let's go into Romans chapter 10. And let's look at verses 10 through 14. Verse 10 says, "For with the heart a person believes." And this is the definition of salvation. Let's go up to Let's go up to verse 8 in Romans chapter 10. And let's read through to verse 14. Verse 8 says, but what does it say? The word, God's message in Christ, is near you on your lips and in your heart. That is the word, the message, the basis and object of faith which we preach. Because if you acknowledge and you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that is for every single individual on this planet, and even those to come who aren't even here yet. Verse 10 says, for with the heart a person believes, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ, and so is justified. They are declared righteous and acceptable to God. And with the mouth he confesses. That person confesses and declares openly and speaks out freely his faith and confirms his or her salvation. Verse 11 says, the scripture says, no man who believes in Jesus the Christ, who adheres to, relies on, and trusts in him, will ever be put to shame or be disappointed. Verse 12 says, no one, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek or Jew and Gentile. The same Lord, Jesus the Christ, is Lord over all of us. And he generously bestows his riches upon all who call upon him in faith. He makes no distinction. If you do what the scripture says and you call upon him, he loves you. It says here, he bestows his riches upon all. A-L-L, that's 100%, that's anyone. All who call upon him in faith. For everyone, verse 13 says, who calls upon the name of the Lord, Jesus the Christ, invoking him as Lord, will be saved. Everyone. Do you see the non-distinction here? James chapter 2. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And we all have dealt with that. Be it against another person, be it, you know, we all deal with preconceived notions based on what we see. And we make decisions and judgments without even speaking to a person, when everyone deserves kindness and love, which is why Jesus hung on that cross and gave up his life. And we, as his bride, as the people of God, are to exemplify his love to all people. Because that is how we will be identified as Christ's disciples, by our love. And we have Jesus the Christ as our example of how we are to walk and operate and move and speak and portray and carry out that love to all people. Because the scripture says, it is not the will of the Father that any should perish, but that all would come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ and be saved. Let's go to James. Let's look at James chapter 3, and we will be headed over there as soon as we conclude our study with James chapter 2. But James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, we're going to jump over there for a little bit right now. It says, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure and undefiled. Then it is peace-loving. It is courteous, considerate, and gentle. It is willing to yield to reason. It is full of compassion and good fruits. It is wholehearted and straightforward. It is impartial and unfeigned, free from doubts, wavering, and insincerity. And the harvest of righteousness, of conformity to God's will in thought and deed, is the fruit of the seed sown in peace by those who work for and make peace in themselves and in others. That peace, which means concord, agreement, and harmony between individuals, with undisturbedness and a peaceful mind, free from fears, agitating passions, and moral conflicts. Peace. In Matthew, in the Beatitudes, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The love of God, the pure, unadulterated love of God, brings peace. And peace brings harmony and unity. No impartiality. No impartiality. That's wholeness. That is shalom. That is nothing missing and nothing broken. James chapter 2, this part that we have studied today, verse 7, we will continue, but let's just go back to verse 1 in James chapter 2. Where he said, my brethren, and that means sister and two, pay no servile regard to people. Show no prejudice, no partiality. Do not attempt to hold and practice the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, together with snobbery. Mm. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this time of learning, this time of being chided, being corrected, being taught how to be more like you, how to walk more like you, Lord Jesus, how to minister your love to all people. As you minister your love to us, so we too are to reflect and minister your love to all people. Lord, thank you for giving us wisdom and knowledge and understanding and opening our eyes and ears of spiritual understanding even further to this passage of Scripture. And we thank you that we yield ourselves to you, Father, and we are willing and obedient. Holy Spirit, thank you for teaching us, and teach us all the more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord continue to bless us. May the Lord continue to keep us. May the Lord continue to make his beautiful, most beautiful face shine upon us. May the Lord continue to be gracious unto us. May the Lord continue to lift his countenance and turn his beautiful face toward us. And may the Lord continue to give us all of us, his divine peace, his love, his mercy, his grace, himself. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. This is Minister Renee Ellis, also known as the Little One, leaving you with Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek, inquire for, and insistently require, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, in his presence, all the days of my life, to behold and gaze upon the beauty, the sweet attractiveness, and the delightful loveliness of the Lord, and to meditate, consider, and inquire in his temple. Until we all meet again, this is Minister Renee Ellis saying, God bless you. Enjoy this God-given day today. Be blessed. Amen. So long.